Today and tomorrow in our chapel services, we are celebrating and discussing the wonderful work of the holy angels who guard and protect us, tomorrow being the day of St. Michael and all angels. And we hear a reading today from 2 Kings chapter 6. This takes place hundreds of years before our Lord came to this earth. And it's describing the king of the Arameans who now comes to war against the Israelites. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, we believe that's Elisha's servant Gehazi, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Most of you students have probably heard by now that many years ago, up until 1969, Bethany had a high school on our campus. I'm going to take you back to 1937. In 1937, there was a young man who was 16 years old who was planning to come to Bethany High School. And the summer before he came here, he went to work on a family farm in northern Wisconsin, up near Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And he was asked to be involved in a barn raising. And so he and other people from the family went to this nearby barn raising. Barn probably about the size of this sanctuary, maybe a little smaller than that. And they were working with very, very, very large timbers. And this man told me that he was standing at the bottom of one of those big timbers in the middle of the barn, and he and another 16-year-old were trying to help secure this into place. And suddenly, up in the scaffolding way above them, some larger timbers broke loose, were being worked on, and came crashing down. And one of them just grazed the arm of this young man, the 16-year-old, said he could just feel it right on his body. But it hit the young man next to him and crushed him and killed him. That 16-year-old who survived ended up coming here that fall for high school and went on through Bethany College. Decided to go and study for the ministry, served as a parish pastor for many years, got married, had a number of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, lived to be 87 years old, ended up being the president of a church body, ended up being a professor of a seminary, a well-respected professor. His name was Jewel Madsen. He even served here at one time as the chaplain on our campus. And he would often talk about that incident and asking the question, why had God spared his life? Why on that fateful day had God permitted the timber to miss him and hit that young man next to him? And how the angels must have been watching over him and protecting him that day. In the text before us, we have this wonderful little account, and we have a couple of these in the Old Testament especially, where God permits this young man to suddenly see the actual protecting hand and work of the angels. And Gehazi, the servant, as he looks out, by his natural reason, would assume that everybody's outnumbered, that they're in trouble, that they're in a suicide mission to try to go up in this war. By his own perception, by his own reason, by just using what he would get through his eyes and according to how he processes things with his mind, it would appear that there is no hope at all. But God had given to the Israelites a promise that he would take care of them and preserve them. And a lot of times this happens to us today as well. We often analyze our lives and the things that go on in our lives based upon the information we take in through our eyes and with our reason. And it would be easy for us, natural for us, to oftentimes assume that God isn't out there taking care of us or watching over us. But when we see how God in this text sort of peels back the spiritual realm, the angelic realm. He peels back, if you will, the eyes of this young man to now be able to see into the spirit kingdom and into how God uses angelic forces, his host of good angels, to guard and protect his people. What an amazing sight that must have been for this young man. And to see that God was hiding his victory in the small numbers of the Israelites that day by adding to them this increase of this majestic angelic army coming to help them. How many times have you and I maybe just assumed when certain things have happened to us in our life, or we've just slightly avoided trouble or calamity, have we maybe falsely assumed that it was just luck, or maybe some little thing that we did or somebody else did? And someday in heaven we may find out that God was using his angelic forces to protect us because of his love and care and providence for his faithful. Wouldn't it be interesting, not that we're going to care in heaven, but wouldn't it be interesting if God let us look back at a movie of our life and watch it? Mine would be pretty boring, but look back at a movie of our life and watch it from the perspective of the angelic realm, to take off the cloak that hides this from us, to be able to watch and see all the times and places that his divine hand through the angels have protected us and watched over us. Angel hosts, we're told in Scripture, have been created by God for the preservation of his people and to serve his chosen faithful who are in this world. In the same way they came to attend our Lord Jesus Christ, they were present at his birth to announce it to the shepherds. And they took him all the way up to the cross until that one moment in time when God pulled the angels away and completely abandoned his son and turned his back on his son in order to carry out the punishment for all of our sins. But as soon as that work was done, the angels are there right away again, aren't they, on Easter morning, declaring his resurrection and the promise that gives to us. Someday when we arrive in heaven by God's grace through faith in Christ, we're going to go to the throne of our Savior, who still bears the marks of our sins on his hands in his glorious body. We're going to go to him and we're going to express our gratitude for his atoning death that paid for every sin we've ever committed, for the gracious righteousness that God has given us that gives us the hope of going to heaven someday. We're going to be grateful to him. We're going to be grateful to God the Father for the providence that he gave us. We're going to be grateful to him for the bodies that he gave us and the food and everything we had in this life. We're going to be grateful to God the Holy Spirit for the very faith that trusts in that Savior. But we're also going to, after all of that, go and thank the angels. And we're going to get to find out the particular name of the angels that have protected each of us in so many ways. Right now, as we look out at the world, we can do so a little bit with faith and understand that angels are there. But right now, as Paul says, we look through a glass darkly. But someday in heaven, we will see them face to face. God be praised for that. Amen.